It's the last day of October, and the frost is definitely on the pumpkin. It's time to get serious about getting your garden ready for winter. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Knave will be here. We'll talk about preparing your yard and garden for winter, how and when to cover the strawberries, the best way to overwinter your roses, and getting ready to fend off hungry deer and bunny rabbits. Richard and Linda will also answer your questions. 866-780-9100. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and it certainly is starting to feel like winter. So today we're going to talk about preparing our yard and garden for the winter. Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron is here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Yes, and happy Halloween to you too. And Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Linda Knave is also here. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you both for being here today. And it does feel like winter this morning.
It does.
The water was frozen outside. And I've been quoting the frost is on the pumpkin poem all day. So that certainly there was some frost on the pumpkins this morning.
May have been partially frozen, I think, the pumpkins.
Right.
How low did it get today around the state?
Well, I saw 28 this morning. So not warm.
No,
it's cold.
All right. So let's talk about some of the things we should be doing right now in preparation for winter.
Well, it's a little bit early on some things, but for example, on the strawberries, they need to be covered typically around mid-November. Actually, temperatures in the 20s are good because that tends to prepare the plants for winter, hardens them off. And so sometime around mid-November, late November, before it gets really cold, like 10 degrees or below, you want to cover that with some straw, typically 4 to 5 inches of straw. And that basically insulates the plants so that we don't have any damage to the plants or the flower buds. The flower buds actually did form earlier this summer, so they're there right now. So if we don't have any snow cover and they're not covered with straw, that may damage or destroy the flowers.
Okay, so right now we should be happy because it was so cold last night for our strawberries.
Actually, it's a good thing, yes. And so that's going to harden off the plants. And so I would guess in about 2 weeks or so, you want to cover them with straw. And if you are in a windy area, what you can do is maybe cover them with maybe fencing after you have the straw in place, and then maybe put some bricks on the fencing to keep that straw in place so it doesn't blow away.
All right. And what about roses? We had so many people who lost roses last winter during the polar vortex. I know a lot of people are going to be worried about that this year.
Yeah, that was the coldest winter in over 25 years, and those really cold temperatures really damaged quite a few plants. And so we would suggest if you have like a modern rose, like a hybrid tea, that again, you go up maybe in another couple of weeks and you take some soil from the garden and you basically cover, let's say, the bottom 8 to 12 inches of the rose canes with soil. Soil is a good insulator and it will protect the plants. We don't have to save the entire rose. If we can save the bottom few inches, they're fine. Roses are basically grafted or budded. And where they're budded, you have kind of a crook in the stem, so you can actually see where they've been budded. If everything above the bud union dies, you've lost the plant. So if we can cover the bottom few inches, we can save the plant.
Okay, and how do you feel about rose cones, Richard?
Rose cones. Well, they're very easy, they're very convenient, but they're really not that effective. Because on some really nice, warm, sunny days, I think it can get quite warm in that rose cone. And then it gets very cold at night. So you have these very dramatic temperature changes, which can injure the plants. And so I don't recommend those. I don't think they're very effective. If you do use those, you're going to have to prune back the plants first, obviously, to make them fit. And then, again, probably put them on maybe mid to late November. But to me, I don't think they're that effective.
All right. And I don't see them as often.
No, not like you used to. It used to be very, very common, but people have kind of figured it out that, yes, it's convenient, but it wasn't really working that well.
All right. How about thinking ahead to when the rabbits are going to get hungry and the deer are going to get hungry. What do we need to be doing right now so it's not a crisis later?
Well, with the rabbits, they like to browse on trees and shrubs in the wintertime when the snow is covering the ground. So if you have some small trees, if you have some small shrubs, you probably want to kind of fence them in, so to speak. And you can use chicken wire fencing, hardware cloth, and basically put that around the plants. It should be at least, I would say, 24 inches tall, because we can get a heavy snow and you don't want them basically crawling over the top. So you want something that's quite tall that can basically stay there from, let's say, mid-November until early spring.
Okay. And now would be a good time to do that.
Yes, you could do that this weekend. That would be fine.
Because once we start to get the snow and we
yes.
think about it, then
and the
it's
ground's frozen.
Not a great job.
Then you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. What else should we be thinking about as far as maybe our perennials, anything that we need to be doing for yard cleanup?
Well, one thing that people might want to consider is if they have a lot of pots on their decks and then their front entryway on their porch, now's the time to be emptying those out, getting the soil out, clean them up if you can, and store them away where they won't freeze. The problem is people forget, they leave their beautiful ceramic pots or terracotta pots on their deck, and it rains, it snows, it melts, and those pots absorb some moisture, they freeze, and they crack. It really shortens the life of those nice containers if they're left out over winter. So the best thing to do is now take those pots, empty them out, put the soil on your compost pile, does help a lot, and clean them up, put them in storage.
All right. And somebody is calling with a question that I was going to ask next. So I'm just going to let him ask the question. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Bob is on the line from Rock Island. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning.
What is your question?
Trying to find out, we've just bought a new house. We've got a big backyard, and we want to put garlic in. And I think I had heard that you're supposed to put it in the fall. So my questions are, do I need to put more than one clove per plant? Take me through the whole process.
Okay, that's a very good question. Garlic is best planted in the fall, and you would plant the garlic cloves about an inch below the soil surface. And I say the cloves, separate that head into the individual cloves. Then plant them about an inch and a half deep, and about 4 to 6 inches apart. That gives them plenty of room to grow. Then you can, cover them back up, water them if that necessary if we don't get any rain. You can mulch over them, but it isn't all that necessary. But I would suggest you mulch over them if it's available. And then they may even start emerging yet this fall. Don't be alarmed if they do.
Okay.
That's just a normal thing. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, depending if we get warm weather. They're evergreen through the winter then. It doesn't kill them whatsoever. But the mulch will maybe insulate them and keep them from sprouting. And then they'll come up again next spring and you're set to go. They'll produce a much better head if they're fall planted. Spring planting results in they will form a head, but the individual cloves will be very small.
Okay, and what is our window of opportunity? Because we can still plant garlic, say, this weekend, but how long do we have?
We have actually a few weeks left. You can get it in, I would say, at least 4 weeks before the ground starts to freeze. I would get them in before that.
Okay.
Give them a good chance to get started. But if you have them, if you can get them at the garden center, get them in as soon as possible.
All right. And we can usually get through November without the ground freezing, right?
Closest. Usually.
And it looks like we might this year unless it gets really deep freeze cold because we've had such a nice fall.
All right. And I know that here's another question that we will get this hour. What about those fall bulbs that people have bought, or I guess spring bulbs, the bulbs that they need to plant this fall that they've bought? They haven't gotten them in the ground yet. There's still time, right?
Still plenty of time. They want to do that before the ground freezes. So I would say try to get that done in the next 2 weeks, because after that, the weather is very unpredictable. So
all right. And planting them is going to get less and less pleasant with each
Correct.
Passing day
yes.
as well. All right, let's open the phones. The number to call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hayes is on the line from Jefferson. Hi, Hayes.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
I have some plum pits and apple seeds from our family farm, and the trees have kind of started to die back, and we'd like to start some from seed. And I've read a couple places that, you know, the plum pits and the apple seeds kind of need a cold period or like an overwinter period before they'll grow. Should we plant them and let them go ahead and do that naturally outside, or can you do that inside, like in your refrigerator, in a more controlled
right.
environment and force them to sprout? Or I guess what would be the recommendation?
Right. They do have to be exposed to cool, moist conditions. And so you can do that outdoors by just planting them outdoors in the fall. In the case of a plum, that pit should be planted maybe 1 inch deep. As far as the apple seed, maybe a half inch deep at most.
Okay.
If you want to do it artificially, what you can do is basically get a pot and some potting soil, and go ahead and pot them up. And then go ahead and water them in, and then place them in the refrigerator for basically 3 to 4 months, which approximates winter. And then you can take them out in the spring, put them in a window at room temperature, keep the soil moist, and they typically should germinate. So you can do it either way.
And will those, I also read that those apple sproutings specifically won't fruit. Do they have to then be grafted, or?
Well, they will fruit, but the problem is, which I should have mentioned, is they won't be identical to their parent. So, for example, let's say you have a red delicious apple, and you take out the seed and you plant the seed. It's not going to give you a red delicious apple. It's going to be an apple, but it's going to be different genetically. So it's not going to be a perfect copy. Now, if you want a perfect copy, what you can do is to do some grafting, and where you simply take a small branch from the desired tree, about pencil size and thickness, and you graft that onto a hardy rootstock. Now, rootstocks are hard to find, but you can buy them from a few nurseries. One is in Washington State, Rain Tree Nursery, and you can they're on the internet, so you can find their source.
All right, Hayes, good luck with your project, and we are going to take a short break. We'll be back to answer more of your questions in just a few minutes. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa. And with me, Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave. You are welcome to join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's answer an email question here. This is from Laura in Des Moines. I've been advised to leave peony leaves and stalks on the plant for the winter to protect it from the cold, and also to clip and discard leaves that are diseased. Most of my peonies have whitish stains on the leaves. Should I cut and discard them now or in the spring?
The whitish growth, I think, is powdery mildew, and that's been showing up the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure why that's increasing in severity, but it's powdery mildew. It's not going to kill the plant. It's kind of a minor thing. But my inclination would be to go out there at this point, once we've had a really hard killing freeze, cut them off at the ground, remove that debris from the area, and destroy it. That'd be my suggestion.
All right. Let's go to the phones now. Next up, we've got Brandon on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's your question?
We made a donation to a tree charity a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to send us a bunch of blue spruce trees just for a thank you. But they're not going to get here until like mid to late November. I want to know if we can just plant them then or if we have to wait until spring.
Do you know, are they going to be bare root? That'd be my guess.
I think the roots are just barely saplings, just little guys.
Okay. Well, I think what I would do is go ahead and pot them up in small pots using potting soil, water them in nicely, leave them indoors maybe just for a week or so, and then put them in a cool place. And so if you have a unheated garage, that might be sufficient. Just put them in there, leave them in there over the winter. Water them periodically, but you're looking for a place that is consistently cool but not extremely cold, that has some protection. So maybe a garage or a shed. And then hopefully they survive the winter and then plant them in the spring.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your question, Brandon. And we had a very similar question. So is this the same answer from this is from Josh in Iowa City. I'm supposed to be receiving some bare root trees for planting in the next week. Can you walk me through the process for planting bare root trees in the late fall?
Well, if they're deciduous trees, you can actually plant those directly outside. I'm a little bit more concerned about the evergreens because they retain their foliage. So if you get some deciduous trees, like maybe maple seedlings or oak seedlings, you can go ahead and plant those. Do it as soon as they arrive. Water them in nicely. And most likely they'll be okay. The one thing with those would be that if they're small, you might want to put some protective fencing around them so the rabbits don't browse on them.
All right. Let's go back to the phone. Cheryl is on the line now in Nevada. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
We have some arborvitae, the green giant variety arborvitae that is a western fence line. And we've had some winter burn the last couple of years. Should we put a protection around each of the trees to get them going to protect them, or is that worse? They do get snow and wind blow.
Okay. How big are they right now?
They're about 4 feet tall.
Okay. I would say this year has been better weather-wise. What has happened in the past was the last two summers were extremely dry.
Yeah.
So going into winter, they were in a dry condition. And because they were much more susceptible to winter injury. This year, we've had abundant rain most of the growing season. So this year, they're in much better shape. So the damage should be less likely this year. But if you want to, what you can do is the two things that may damage them would be the sun can dry out the foliage, and also the wind can dry out the foliage. So if what you can do possibly is put a burlap fence.
Okay,
To their west, okay, which would keep off that dry, cold northwest wind and also some of the sun off, and that would provide some protection. So you could do that, but as far as rainfall, we've had good rainfall, so they should be good in that regards.
Is it smarter to do each individual tree or just do the whole line?
I would try to do the whole line if I could. Where you get a nice big roll of burlap and some wooden stakes and just stretch the burlap between the stakes and staple it to the wooden stakes.
Okay.
All right, Cheryl. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you very much.
I think last year scared a lot of people, Richard.
It was a bad winter.
Yes.
It was. I mean, it was kind of the perfect storm where you had dry soil conditions. You didn't have very much snow cover, especially in southwestern Iowa. You had those very, very windy days. I mean, winter was very windy last year, which dried out things. And then it was very cold. So you had everything was just not good weather-wise.
Plus, things were weak from years of drought before that.
Right, so
hopefully this winter will be better. Dale is on the line next from Hampton. Hi, Dale.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
Okay, we have a lake place over by Velma and Clemmie, and we have a lot. It's about 400 feet off the lake, but I'd like to plant a couple of trees. We have the soil type is not good. It was fill dirt years ago, but I'd like to get a couple of trees to plant on the lot line so eventually we have some shade. So you have the water level is about 3-3.5 feet down, but then, you know, like I said, you're dealing with soil. It's not very good.
Okay. Well, I would consider trees that are fairly adaptable as far as soil type. And I would definitely consider a honey locust, a thornless honey locust, which are very common. You see those quite often in parking lots, so they are very tolerant, very resilient. I would consider maybe a linden, either an American or little leaf linden. I would consider possibly a bur oak.
Okay.
So those are some of the trees, and also a hackberry. I'd add the hackberry, too.
Okay. Okay, yeah, we, in the town where I lived last summer, we had a tornado that took the tops on. I had two really nice linden trees, and it just devastated those trees, twisted the tops right out. The one was about 80 feet tall, and it pretty much ruined that linden.
But they are nice trees, and they're very adaptable, so.
Oh, yeah, they've done well at my home place. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
All right, Dale, thanks a lot for your call. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Shane is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Shane.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Two questions, if you could take both. First one, Annabelle hydrangea. So we're wondering the best time of year to cut those down and how low to the ground should we go?
The Annabelle hydrangeas are fairly easy to take care of. You can cut those fairly low, and you can do that right now if you want after we've had a good freeze, and then they will come up next spring. Just do fine.
Perfect. Okay. And then the other question I have, we have two tulip trees in our backyard. They're about 2 years old, going on year three. We wanted to start cutting the lower branches away, so we wanted to know the best time to do that as well.
I would say I would do that basically in March, early April, before they begin to leaf out. And you want to do this gradually as a tree grows. And so you might go out maybe in March, take off one or two next year. You might then skip a year, then come back and prune off maybe one or two more, and gradually raise the clearance as the tree grows.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Shane. And next up, let's go to Mary in Grundy Center. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I started doing raised bed gardening, and last spring I got some indoor rose plants. I don't know if they were indoor, just tiny roses. And this summer I planted them in one of my raised beds, and they flourished. They're absolutely beautiful. I want to know, is there anything special I need to do since they are in a raised bed to help them survive the winter?
Those are probably miniature roses, and even though they're small in stature, they're actually quite hardy. What I would do, again, is just take some soil from the garden and basically cover the bottom, let's say, 6-8 inches of the rose canes with soil so they have some extra protection.
All right.
And that should do it then.
That should do it.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call. You can join the conversation, 866-780-9100. Ray is on the line in Norway. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you too. What would you like to talk about?
I know that I'm supposed to cut these oaks, a bur oak and a couple of white oaks, when it's cold. I'm wondering if it's cold enough now before the snow flies.
Well, as far as pruning them, the ideal time is basically December, January, and February. And the concern there is oak wilt, which is spread by a small sap-feeding insect. And obviously in the winter months, the insect is not there. Now, at this time, the insect might still be around. But I would guess by mid to late November, when we have several days of cold weather, they should be gone for the year. So right now, maybe a little bit early, but maybe later in the month should be okay.
All right. Well, thank you, and thanks again.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And again, you can join us 866-780-9100. Let's get a couple of email questions in here. The email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is from Susan. I live just north of Ames, and I'd like to know if I should cut down my long-stem tea roses now, and what about wrapping the rose bush in burlap?
Well, I would not prune them back at this point. I'd prefer to do that in early spring. You can wrap them with burlap, but burlap doesn't really provide much protection, especially when it gets to be 15, 20 below zero. So by itself, the burlap is not very effective. You typically need some soil in addition to the burlap.
Okay, and this is from Anita in Indianola. I have a river birch that has branches that are too low to the ground and makes it difficult to mow around. When is the best time to prune the lower branches, and how much can be taken off?
I would say the best times would be basically, again, March, early April, before they leaf out. Now, if you do prune them in late winter, they will bleed a lot from the pruning cuts. And that does worry some people, but they're not going to bleed to death. But they will bleed heavily for quite some time. So you could do it in March, early April. The other thing is, let's say you have this tree, it's above a sidewalk or patio, and you don't want the dripping onto the sidewalk or patio, then wait and do it probably in midsummer, like July. That's a good time too.
All right. This is from someone named Josh in Iowa City. He says, I heard earlier Richard mention grafting apple trees, and I would like to know more. I have several apple trees in my backyard, and I'd like to diversify my apple crop. Can I graft multiple different scions onto the same tree?
Well, there's a lot of different grafting methods. And yes, you can, depending on the method, you can have a multi-variety tree if you want to. I would suggest going to the public library and finding a book on plant propagation, or going online and finding something on grafting apple trees. There are a lot of different ways of doing it, and yes, you can do that if you want.
He wants to also know if he can combine apples and pears.
I don't believe you can, because they're related, but they're not the same genus. Typically, when you're grafting, you have to graft an apple onto an apple and a pear onto a pear. So typically, probably not.
All right. And when is the best time to graft?
It all depends upon the grafting method. When you're dealing with small material like pencil size and thickness, you typically do that in late winter. That's called whip or tongue grafting, and typically in late winter. It depends upon the method, actually, when you do it. So.
All right. Next up, we've got Nicholas on the line in North Liberty. Hi, Nicholas.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
We have an acre of land, 1.1, so technically an acreage, of course. But we have 20 or so pin oaks on our property and a couple maples, but we get lots and lots of leaves. Do you have any creative ways to get rid of those? Because we're not able to burn. We're not able to have our trash pick them up. We pretty much have to throw them all in some bags and borrow a truck and get them to the dump. So if we could mulch them, if we could put them around our trees, you know, in the winter for kind of a to their own personal mulch, you know, what do you think?
Well, there's different ways of dealing with that. One would be to shred the leaves. For example, if you have a mower and a bag, you could chop those up, and then you could use the shredded leaves as a mulch next year. So you could shred them up, put them in a pile, leave them there until next year, and use them as a mulch. You could use those in a vegetable garden, around raspberries, around trees and shrubs as a mulch, so you could do that. You could also shred them and then make a huge compost pile where you add layers of other plant debris, a little bit of soil, a little bit of fertilizer, and do that. So you do have ways of getting rid of the foliage.
All right. Nicholas, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Corrine on the line in Radcliffe. Hi, Corrine.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I have three kinds of perennial seeds, flowers, that have been given to me that I want to propagate really badly, but I'm not sure when to be the best time to plant. I have larkspur seed. I've always wanted to get them started. And I have Jack in the Pulpit seeds that my daughter just gave me. And then I have some blue columbine seed. They used to propagate themselves, but lately they've been kind of dying out, and I saved a few seeds this year from the little pitiful plant I still have. So when should I plant them, now or wait till spring?
I would wait till spring. However, with the Jack and the Pulpit, what I would do is I would get some sphagnum moss, something like that, some very loose organic material, maybe even shredded newspaper damp, and put your Jack and the Pulpits in that moist medium, put it in the refrigerator because they need what we call stratification in order to germinate. Now, the other seeds you could just put in a Ziploc bag, keep them dry, put them in the refrigerator too, but they don't need that moist stratification as the Jack in the Pulpit would.
Okay.
And then next
Jack
spring.
And the Pulpit in the refrigerator also then.
Right, through the winter. But they need moist, the others dry.
Okay.
And then next spring, perhaps in February, or start them in small containers, just plant them as seeds. Now, the larkspur is very tiny seed. And what was the other?
Oh,
not Jack in the Pulpit, but...
Vine.
Oh, columbine. That, too, is a very small seed. So I would sow those very shallow. The Jack in the Pulpit's a little bit larger seed. You could go maybe a quarter of an inch to half an inch deep on that. But then keep it well watered. Use potting soil. And when they come up, of course, give them plenty of light.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. And Linda, my kids have been collecting milkweed seeds. Would it be the same thing? Should they keep them in the fridge through the winter?
Yes. Keep them, dry them out first, because if they just put them in the pods in the refrigerator, they're going to rot. So clean the seed off, keep them dry, and then put them in the refrigerator.
All right. We're going to take a short break. I'm talking with Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave on a Halloween edition of Horticulture Day. You're welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you can join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave, and Mary is on the line next from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I actually had a question about bringing herbs in from outside and trying to winter them inside. I tried to root some. The rosemary is doing its rooting. The sage is rooting. The thyme is not rooting at all. And I'm wondering, I know basil, I've heard basil doesn't do very well, but I was wondering if they had any suggestions.
Well, first of all, I think you're doing a good job of rooting them rather than trying to dig them. That makes a better plant, and you can't always get the full root system. The plant is leggy and has a hard time recovering indoors. So by rooting it and getting a good root system on it and then potting it up and treating it like a house plant, that's a good way to overwinter our perennial herbs. You were right with the basil. Basil's an annual, and cut it, use it, and then be done with it. Now, sometimes if you cut it and put it in water, it will root as well, but just use it up. You can sow seeds and get new basil coming up throughout the winter if you want basil. That's the way I would take that approach. But with the thyme, you could, if you're not getting it to root very well because its stems are small and wiry, I would cut the plant back fairly close, within an inch or two of the soil surface. Dig as much of the root system, because it's a very wiry, fibrous root system. Dig as much of that as you can and put it in a container and bring it in. But that would be the one, that and oregano would be the two that I would probably dig. The rosemary, if you have lavender, cuttings are the best way to do that.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Mary. Next up, Dwayne in Des Moines. Hi, Dwayne. Oh, Dwayne, can you turn down your radio, please? We'll get back to you in just a minute. Please turn down your radio. Luann is on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Luann.
Hi. My question is regarding my Yukon potatoes. This year, I dug them up. They were plentiful. The ones that are fist size or bigger all have a hollow spot in the middle, a little brown circle. Can you tell me what might cause that?
I think what may have caused that would be the abundant rainfall. Let's say the potato is developing, and then we have a very heavy rain event. And so you have all this water being absorbed by the plant, and then some of that going into the potato. And so the potato enlarges very quickly all at once, and so you tend to have a hollow heart or hollow center.
My red ones, I planted like two varieties also of them, and they were perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can have some varietal differences as far as response, so that would be my guess.
All right.
And that's good. That's a good response because we saw a lot of it this year, particularly in the yellow Yukon Golds, and not so much the reds.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Luann. Thank you very much. Next up, let's go to Jill in Des Moines. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi. What's your question?
Two. The first one is more important to me because we have been overrun by earwigs. I never had them until the last 2 years, and they have taken over every part of our yard, from wildlife habitat foods to any kind of thing in our edible human garden. And also, I'm even finding them inside now in the basement, which is really freaking me out. So I'm wondering, there's an organic product called Garden Pest Bait, but it would also kill snails, slugs, ants, pill bugs, crickets. I kind of hate to do that, even though it would also kill cutworms, which is kind of good. What do you think about for the year ahead? Because we're even, like I said, finding them in the house. I sat on a rocking chair and found one yesterday.
Yeah, they tend to like moist, damp areas outdoors. That's where you typically find them. You can use insecticides if necessary. As far as indoors, you might want to check with our entomologist, Donald Lewis.
Okay.
And his phone number here at Iowa State is 515-294-1101.
Okay.
So 294-1101.
Right. So do you think they'll carry over outdoors? I mean, they were nibbling everything, even, you know, Marigolds, perennials from the prairie type. Well, not so much that, but everything in the garden, you know, from chard to whatever.
Yeah, the environment definitely affects their survivability. So if the weather conditions are favorable, then you may have quite a few next year. If the weather conditions are less favorable, where, let's say, for example, we have some dry periods, there's less food available for them, then the population may drop quite a bit. So they do tend to go up and down according to the environment.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question is related to the woman who said, you know, when do I plant various perennial seeds I've collected? In the zone we're in the Des Moines area, I know like milkweed has to be frozen before it can be put out the next year, but how do we know in general kind of which things, how do you look it up or know what things I bring in from my seed pods really need to go through a freeze?
Well, in general, if you have like annual flower seeds, for example, they do not need to be exposed to cool temperatures. That's kind of a given. So if you have things like marigolds and zinnias, they typically don't. Now, when you're dealing with like tree seed and shrub seed, things like apples or oaks or whatever, typically, yes, they have to be exposed to cool, moist conditions. And with the perennials, it kind of varies from plant to plant. So it's a little bit more difficult to say as a general statement.
Okay. If I left beans out, would they grow again in the spring, or do I need to bring those in?
Your green beans? Bean seed like that?
I have all kinds of like native. I tried native heirloom, kind of a Native American, some beans this year, just all kinds. Scarlet runner beans. I'm thinking, what if they sell? I mean, would they grow or do they need to all come in?
They will likely rot out of doors. I would take them in, put them in a container that seals them off so they're dry.
Okay.
And that's the key. You don't want to get any additional moisture in them. That might stimulate a little bit of germination because once that happens and they dry out, they die.
Okay.
Because that seed is a living organism. Pardon?
Okay. And then potatoes, we're getting the eyes of them. Parts that I've cut out and thrown in the compost are growing plants. And I thought, and some of our potatoes that we harvested didn't store well yet have little buds. And I thought, well, could I grow my own starts?
No.
How would I do
that? I would not do that for a couple reasons. One is the ones we get are disease, are certified seed pieces with disease resistance. And if you try to save them, I don't think it'd be worth your time or effort.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Jill. And on a related question, this is from Schroeder in Clear Lake. Can I plant garlic that I buy from the store in the garden?
You could. However, some garlic might have a sprout inhibitor on it that keeps it from sprouting, and that's exactly what you want it to do. If you have saved your garlic from last year's garden, you can go ahead and plant it. You run into some risks with diseases, disease particularly like Astor's yellows. But if you've grown your own, you can. But if you buy it from the garden grocery store, it may not grow as well because of the sprout inhibitor. If they have started to sprout in storage in your pantry, then you could go ahead and try it. It's a good sign. It might not be a variety that we'd recommend for Iowa, but it will likely grow.
All right. But you could find it at the garden center. And if you bought it at the farmer's market, would that be okay?
Oh, yes. That would definitely be a good start.
All right. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of farmer's markets are closing down for the year, mm-hmm. but you may have yet another opportunity. Let's get back to the phones. Ruth is on the line. Hello, Ruth.
Hi, Charity.
Hi.
My question is about garden phlox. I have quite a large bed that's been there several years, but the last four summers, they have not bloomed. They will grow in the spring and in through the summer, and they will only get about half their height, probably 12 to 18 inches. And the head of the plant will have kind of a warped, twisted look. And I thought maybe that they were freezing each spring because we've had a late spring for the last few years, and I thought maybe that was their problem. Someone that knows quite a bit about flowers had looked at them and thought it was a fungus. So what do you think about that?
I'm not sure. It possibly could be a small insect, like a thrip or something, possibly. It could be a disease. And so what I would suggest is, if this occurs next spring, what I would do would be I would go out there and clip off two or three of these plants, put them in a plastic bag, bring those to the county extension office, and request they send that to the plant diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State.
Okay.
And they should know the address. So they should know how to do that. They should also have a form that you fill out with your name and address. Now, the clinic does charge a fee of $20, but they'll send that into Iowa State. They have your completed form. The staff will examine that, and then they'll respond directly back to you. But I would guess it's either an insect like a thrip or possibly some type of disease.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, let's see. Next up, we have Doug in Eldridge. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a mature 20-foot river birch in three sprouts. And this year it just looked really, really sickly. It got leaves, you know, very spread out on it. I'm wondering how far can I cut that back, or do you think I can save it?
Now, how big a tree is it?
It's about a 20-footer.
Okay. I would not trim it back. I would not. So it was rather sparse this year as far as foliage?
Yeah. Especially one of the sprouts. It's three sections.
It's three trunks?
One of them was real sparse.
Okay. Well, I would not cut them back, but at this point, I probably wouldn't do anything. But let's say next year we have a prolonged dry period. Then I would make sure that I would go out and water that tree, water that clump, maybe every week or 10 days, because that one trunk is obviously not very healthy. And the last thing that tree needs is to endure a dry period, because these trees are native to wet areas. They like the moisture. So I would go out there and make sure they have water every week or 10 days. You possibly could fertilize a little bit early next spring, and I would use like a 10-10-10 and just kind of sprinkle that around the tree and make sure it has plenty of nutrients.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Doug. And Larry's on the line next in Waterloo. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I planted some arborvitaes this spring, and they're about 6 foot tall. Wondering if I should water them good this fall or cover anything for rabbits?
I would definitely water them periodically until the ground freezes. And so that might be as early as late November, possibly December. But keep on watering them until the ground freezes. That's critical for them. If they're 6 inches tall or 6 feet tall?
Larry, how tall are they?
6 foot tall.
6 foot tall. Then the rabbits should not be a major problem. Deer can be a problem, but the rabbits should not be. If deer are a problem or concern, you may have to fence them in so the deer can't reach them. But otherwise, I wouldn't worry too much about the rabbits.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Larry. And let's do an email question here from Maureen in Johnson County. Rhubarb transplants were started this spring. The plants took and they're healthy. Should the stalks and leaves be cut and should the area be covered?
They're really hardy. So as far as covering it, not necessarily if they've gotten a good establishment this year. Once the frost kills the leaves off, go ahead and get them out and remove them from the patch because they might have a few diseases on the leaves. So I would get it out the leaves, destroy them somewhere else, and just let that rhubarb do its thing over the winter.
All right, here's another question. We have newly rebuilt planter boxes alongside our condo that are in the shade for all but 2 hours a day. Can you recommend any flowering shrubs that would tolerate that much shade?
Boy, flowering shrubs. You have some shrubs that might survive in that situation, but they're not going to have a lot of flowers. Two things come to mind. Obviously, a yew, which is an evergreen, which is kind of nice to have that green foliage year-round. And then I think of the bush honeysuckle, which is not a true honeysuckle, but it's a low-growing plant. It's native to Iowa. There is one called Cool Splash that has green and white variegated foliage, so you have some color there. So that would be a possibility.
All right. Here's another question from Laura. I moved to a new home. Yay. I left behind a beautiful tulip tree. Nay. I would like to plant another one. What's the best time to plant a tulip tree and where should I plant it in my yard?
I would say spring is the best time because then you have the whole growing season to get that tree established. Just give it good care. You also have the best selection as far as going to the nursery. And as far as the site, try to select a site that is somewhat protected, not a open, exposed, windy site, because this likes a moist soil and a well-drained soil. It's not extremely drought-tolerant, so try to choose a moist, well-drained site.
Okay, let's go to Larry on the line in Horton. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is there a good way to propagate a larch tree? I have a number of aging larch trees, and I'd like to keep those on my property.
Boy, easy way of doing it? I would say no. The best way would be to start them from seed, but they have very small little seeds, and that could be a very difficult procedure. But that would be the best way of doing it yourself. I think the best way is to buy small seedlings myself and grow them from the seedlings. Let somebody else do the actual germination of the seeds. But they don't really root from cuttings very well. So as far as propagation, it would be seeds.
All right. And let's end the day with Josh from Des Moines with a gourd question. That's appropriate for Halloween. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question? Quickly.
Well, I'm a seed hoarder, and I've always kept the seeds from gourds we've gotten at pumpkin patches and stuff. And we grew some on the tree line that we have, mm-hmm. and so many different ones came up, and a couple of them were really big. And I was wondering, you know, are all gourds edible? And if I plant those again, will I get new ones again next year that are totally different again?
Regarding edible, they're not toxic, but are they palatable? That would be my question. How would you peel them? Would you bake them? How would you prepare them? So I would not say they're palatable. Yes, save the seed. Let that gourd dry down, almost rot, and harvest the seeds out of them.
All right. Sounds like fun. Thank you so much for your call, Josh. Linda and Richard, thank you both.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Iowa State University Extension horticulturists Richard Giron and Linda Nave will be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.